Amen. If you've got your Bible this evening, turn with me back to the book of Exodus, and we're going to go right back around where the Lord had us this morning, and maybe say a few things in the way that the Lord had us going. But also go in maybe another direction. In Exodus chapter number 12, I'll read this about the Passover. And, you know, it's very plain. You know, and it's still kept today, Passover. Why it's called the Passover is because he passed over. He passed over those houses, passed over Egypt, and was looking for the blood. So and I think they call it maybe some other names, but it is the Passover. In Exodus 12, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. There's a lot I'd like to talk to you about this evening, about this this time coming up to the Passover. And I don't specifically have a title tonight, but there are some things that I feel like that God would have me to deal with. You know, getting the children of Israel to this place, getting them to this place where they would listen to what Moses said and do and be happy to do what the man of God said for them to do. It was wearisome to Moses. It was a worry. He had questions. He had some things that he had to talk with God about, some answers that he needed. Because there were some some things that he identified and he knew, you know, who his people were and how they were. You know, when I think about this, I look at how that God was over all of this. I mean, you can just see the God of heaven. He's got his hands. He's got his sovereignty, his providence over all of the children of Israel and over all of Egypt. I mean, God's over all of this. No matter what's happening down here, God was up here looking down. And he was over all that. The people were in bondage. They were there. They weren't always in bondage. But then they became in bondage. And life began to get hard. And they began to cry for deliverance. They didn't love Egypt anymore. They began to cry for deliverance. And I really have meditated at times how it must have been when, you know, they made them work with rigor and they had those taskmasters upon them constantly. And just make, listen, I've had to work hard before, and then I've had men seem like make my job harder than it needed to be. But I don't know that I understand the rigor that they were under. I mean, they were not only working hard, they were being beaten while they were trying to work that way. And, you know, working with one hand tied behind their back, trying to make enough brick to build that city for Ramses. You think about what the slaves of Israel built for Egypt and did it while being whipped, while being denied straw. I mean, that's like somebody saying sing and holding your throat at the same time. You know, cutting off their avenue of production. And so life was just hard. They began to cry for deliverance. I mean, there was nothing happy about living in Egypt then. All of joy that they had in the days of Joseph and his father Jacob and his brothers when they, you know, had come down finally and they were living in the land of Goshen, and that Pharaoh was wonderful to them. I mean, they had a wonderful place that they began to live and grow, but it wasn't where God wanted them. God wanted them in Canaan land, in Israel. And, you know, I thought about this, you know, how that, you think about when God had called Israel. Listen, Israel wasn't even Israel. Are you listening to me? It was Canaan. It was Canaan. It was the land of the Canaanites, the Amorites. I think the psalmist was talking, prophesying about Israel one time, and I'd like to study this. You know, Abraham was the first called father of the faith. He's from the land of Ur. Is that where the Amorites was? Because here's what David said. He was talking about Israel, and he said, thy father was an Amorite, thy mother was a Hittite. I mean, they were heathens when God picked Abraham out. Amen? They were just like anybody else in the world. And God chose them out as a people and changed their name. Changed. I mean, when he had Jacob, he said, you're no longer Jacob, you're Israel. And from there, the 12 sons of Jacob became the 12 tribes of Israel. God made a nation out of them. I mean, you talk about wonderful providence and sovereignty over a people that God was, and now here he is, he's still overshadowing his people there in Egypt. What about that? I mean, no matter what you and I face as God's children, know that God has always got his eye upon us. And he always beholds. But they were crying for deliverance. They didn't love God's divine intervention, miracle after miracle. God interrupting life as it was in Egypt. Amen? God's remedy and God's message for all of this, it was a lamb. That was God's remedy to get them out of here. A lamb. That's what it was going to boil down to. It wasn't the hail, and it wasn't the blood in the river, and it wasn't the frogs and the flies and the lice and the boils and, you know, killing the cattle. It wasn't all that. The deliverance came because of a lamb, because of blood. Amen, the blood of that lamb. And, you know, I thought about how that the Lord had them strike that blood upon that doorpost, on the two side posts and the top post, but not the bottom. And you know why that is. Because God didn't want anybody trodden underfoot the blood of the lamb. It was just to be the two side posts and the doorpost. They wasn't going to trod underfoot that sacred blood. And so Israel and the Egyptians, all sinners, death was coming upon every house, and it was the blood that he was looking for. That's God's marker. That's what God was looking for, the blood of the Lamb. Amen? But now, before that Moses could get them to this place, Moses, when God began to deal with him and tell him that he was going to come down there and deliver them, to be a deliverer. You know, I wonder what that was like for Moses to hear from God that he was going to be responsible to deliver that multitude of people. I guess I'd have some questions too. I think it's in every one of us, men, that we quit. I mean, especially when God has a task of great strength ahead of us, something that requires every part of us and all of us. And, as God's people, listen, God has set a task before us. As much as the task that God set before Moses. And, you know, we can continue to question God, or we can get about doing what God has asked us to do. We can go in the direction that God said and begin to see this great salvation that God has in store. God has had a great salvation in store. Moses may have seen people and burdens, but what he didn't see was all of the miracles that God was going to do. The parting of the Red Sea, water out of the rock, quail and bread. Are you listening to me? Come and fall out of the sky upon the camp of Israel. Can you imagine that? It's hard for me to imagine enough quail hit the ground to feed over 1 million Israelites. And some sort of, they said, what is that? And called it manna. What is that? Angel's food. Is exactly what it was. But God did that for them. Maybe Moses didn't see that, but I want us to look at some of the things that Moses began to ask God over. I think it was 10 or 11 times that Moses said some things to God that, he had questions. And, you know, he needed some answers. And so, in chapter number 3 and verse number 11, I mean, God had told Moses. I mean, he had already brought him up on the mountain. He was on holy ground. I mean, Moses was starting to experience God. He had fled Egypt. Let me get past that. He had fled Egypt, had already been in the wilderness, had gotten married, became a shepherd, and now he has experienced the bush on fire. He has experienced holy ground with God. He has had his first conversation with God, and God saying, I'm going to deliver them, and you're going to help me. And he said, Who should I say? They're gonna ask. Moses in verse 11 said unto God, whom am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? That's the first question I want us to look at tonight. Who am I? Who am I that God, why don't somebody else? Why not somebody else? God, somebody else can do this. Who am I? Listen, the devil, if he can always get us to question who am I, then we'll never do what God wants us to do. Yeah. Who am I? Well, you're the one that God's talking to at the current time. That's who you are. But I know that we can, you know, all of us look inwardly and see enough failure to quench any fire that God might try to put on us. But God don't want us to look there. God wants us to look up to Him. Instead of who am I, He should have said, God, who are you? That's the question Paul asked. Who art thou, Lord? This voice that come out of heaven in the midday, in the noonday. Who are you, this great God, this Savior? He said, I'm Jesus. I am Jesus. You gotta remember, we're serving the High One, the Holy One. Amen? The one that's in charge of it all. The one that makes a way when there is no way. The one that raises the dead, feeds the hungry, delivers. Had delivered us out. But Moses said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God, why do I have to do this? Well, there's other people doing, you know, can. There's other people can. But God's talking to you. God's speaking to you. This is what God wants you to do. And you have to nail that down, that when God's wanting you to do something, He begins to speak to you, He knows who He's talking to. And He knows exactly what He wants you and me to do. Listen, it took me years, and there's times I mean, you have to really pray as a child of God. But listen, I got to the place where I knew when God wanted me to do something. I mean, when I really knew. And there's still times, you know, it's you know, you kind of maybe, you know, question, you know, when it's not as strong. But there are times I'm certain. I know exactly. Listen, I knew when God wanted me to come over here. I knew it. There was not a doubt in my mind. There was not a question in my mind. I knew God was calling me here. I knew what God wanted me to do. I knew God was done with me in missions, and I hadn't known that up until that time. But God said, you're going. You're the one that's going. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Look at, I mean, the problems that I have. He began to tell God, I can't even speak good. I did that. God, I've got a bad heart. I can't even go to church half the time. Amen. What am I going to do? Somebody else could do a far greater job. Listen, God's not looking for excuses. God's looking for you. Amen. Amen. The Lord will deal with the excuses. Amen. He can do something about that. God can do something about anything in your and my life. He can. You ought to write that one down. I said, God can do something about anything in your and my life. Who am I? Look what's wrong with me. Look where I would not be able to do this, Lord. Somebody else could do it better. And so he complained to God. But God knew who he was talking to. Now in chapter 4, after that God had finally told him, said, you tell them that I am sent you. You tell them that the I am has come down and has visited you. You tell them that. Well, now Moses, in chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They're not going to believe the message. They're not going to believe the message coming from me. Listen, this is all God's business. And I think Moses was more worried about him than he was the message. I was telling the men in the prayer room, listen, we can have confidence in God's message. Amen. Amen. It is the power of God. You know, there's a lot of them in Paul's day that he thought, they won't believe me. I persecuted the church. Amen. They're going to think, I'm just trying to set them up. Well, listen, God knew how to make them know that he had saved Saul and turned him into Paul. And God knows just exactly how to let them know that the message that Moses was bringing was not the message of Moses, but the message of the Master. The message of the I Am. And you and I need to realize that. Listen, they'll not believe me. God don't want them to believe me. He wants them to believe him. His message. We need to hide behind the cross. It's not my message. This is his message. His message. This ain't my doing. This ain't my church. It's God's church. God's church, God's message, God's people. Amen. All of this belongs to him. We need to let the world know it's him that we're introducing to them. Him. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me or hearken unto my... I killed somebody last time I was down there. They will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Who are you? God ain't been around you. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. Now listen, Moses didn't know what was going to happen. Do you think Moses had any idea? He may have thought God was saying, get rid of that stick in your hand. I mean, there he was. He had his staff, had his robe, and looking pretty good, looking ready to go. God, they're not gonna believe me. God said, Moses, what's that in your hand? And it's a rod. Throw it down. God changed it into a serpent. Again, all God's asking out of Moses is to throw out the message. Throw down the rod. Moses don't have to do anything but just do what God asked him to do. You'll go and you'll speak. You'll throw your rod down. When I say throw it down, I'll do everything else. I'll do everything else. Most of you that are in here tonight, you know. Listen, if God tells you to go somewhere to talk to somebody, you and I know He's already on the other end. Amen? I heard that years ago. Don't you worry about it. God's already working on the other end. It's God's business to turn this thing into a miracle. Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Listen, God does not want us to fear anything that he does. If things get pretty strong where we're at, just trust God. Just let God do what He's going to do. You just stand by. Listen, God ain't requiring. There's been times I've been in prayer meetings and God start passing by and I'm sitting there wondering, reckon I need to do something? No, I just needed to sit there and let God do what He was going to do. If God wants me to do so, if He wants me to throw a rod down, He can speak to me like He did at the first. Amen? He can call my name. But until then, I'll just let God do what He wants to do. Let the Lord do the talking. Let the Lord do the speaking. Don't you think that's going to say a whole lot? The things that God does to get the people say a whole lot. God can speak to people in an incident more words than you and I can put in five paragraphs. Do you know that? I said, God can take an incident, whatever it may be, and He can use that to speak to people. More words than you and I know. Now, the next one. Verse number 10. I think this is the fourth one. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I've already covered that. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Listen, God makes mouths and ears. He can make it work. Amen. He created it. He can make it work. And he went on down and complained again, verse 13, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, God, won't you use Aaron? Use him. I wonder how many times that we've tried to pass the buck. God, use him. Well, God, maybe he'd do it. I don't know if I've got time for this. Brother Dave, would you do this? Amen. Pass it all. Listen, God knows who he wants to do what. God in heaven knowed when he was calling Moses, it wasn't Aaron. He wanted Moses. Now in chapter 5 and verse 22, let's go over there. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. In other words, it hadn't happened the way that Moses thought it would, and so he thought, God, this has all turned out a mess. Have you ever went to do something, it just didn't happen the way you, maybe they didn't, maybe they even told you leave. Leave. Don't ever come back. Well, God, that was good. Why'd you let that happen? Why have you done this? God, why have you done this? I know there have been a lot of times I've questioned God. I've questioned Him why. Why things hadn't happened. There's even been times I've set a fleece out before the Lord. Yeah. I said, Lord, I'm gonna set this fleece out. If this happens, then I'll know. And nothing happened. And God said, do it. I said, Lord, the fleece. He said, I didn't ask you to put no fleece out. I told you to do it. Then the devil said, boy, your fleece didn't work. He doesn't need a fleece. You don't need a fleece. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. Amen. Amen. Right. We have the Holy Spirit of God directing our life. I don't have to try. Are you listening to me? The Bible says try the spirits, but I don't have to try to get God to work some magic so that I'll believe. God, I've got to have something I can see. That's what I'm trying to say. I've got to have something I can see. God doesn't work with us that way. He works with us through faith. Listen, if the Lord told him to go, he needed to go. Chapter number 6, verse number 12. And like I said, all of these things are happening. Moses just getting to the place where he can actually get them out of there. Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? God, I can't even get your people to listen to me. How's anybody else going to listen to me? I can't even get God's people to do what they... I can't even get them to do right. How am I going to get the world in here and get them saved? I'm concentrating. Moses was concentrating. I'm sure that not all of the children of Israel were refusing to listen to Moses. But it sure felt that way. Because sometimes some of those main ones that you know are that you're focused on. You focus on and you can lose sight of so many others. I've heard pastors say this. That you can focus on one or two people or families in the church that you just can't do nothing with, and the devil try to make you think it's the whole crowd. Well, it's all of them. And it goes the other way, too. There are churches that, you know, see things out of men that stand in pulpits, and then they may begin to think, well, they're all that way. They're all that way. Ain't none of them will do what God wants them to do. Do things the way that God said to do. And so Moses is just questioning God. Complaint after complaint after complaint. Chapter 6 and verse 30. Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" I've never done this before. God, my mouth don't work. God, I'm not a preacher. Your words have not come out of my mouth. My lips have not been separated for you. It's just one excuse after another. And again, God's not looking for excuses. He's looking for you. He knows what you're made of. He knows what I'm made of. He knows exactly. God knew how to qualify him. God knew how to justify him and qualify him. You can believe that. And so God had a plan for Moses. And he's getting close. In chapter number 17, verse 4. See, I think that was the last one when he finally, you know, "Lord, what I'm saying, what I'm doing, I've got uncircumcised lips. It ain't working." Well, they made it out. Chapter 17 and verse number 4. Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." God, we got them out. I mean, you'd think that Moses would have quit questioning. The Passover came. The move of God. One plague after another. The Red Sea. Now they're traveling to Canaan. But they're upset because there's no water, no food. "You brought us out here to die." And he said, "God, they're about ready to kill me. They're about ready to kill me." We forget. I'm not going to do all of them. I realize what time it is. You can look up the last couple. Here's what Moses is doing. He's forgetting what God promised in the very beginning. Listen, when God promises something, and God told him he was going to use him to deliver them out, to bring them to the land of their fathers, when they started coming out, he should have never questioned God again. But you know what? He began to question the very existence of the mission. Should I even be here? I mean, God, these people, they're about to kill me. They're gonna wind up going in hundreds of directions or going back to Egypt. And they're just going to kill me and leave me laying out here. He began to question the very existence of the mission. God, am I supposed to be here? I've been here, been on this trail with these people for years. Should I still be here? That happens a lot. That happens to pastors. It happens to members. Time for me to go. This crowd's tired of me. They stay mad at me half the time. Upset at me. Blame me for everything. So it's time for me to go. No. God hadn't said one thing to Moses about ever leaving. The mission from the beginning was to deliver them out and to get them to Canaan's land. All this that's happening in between, listen, that's our flesh. That's the devil fighting against us, our flesh fighting against us. Carnality. Blended in with some great spirituality, God doing great things to remind us again of His hand over us. I'm over you. I'm the cloud up here. I'm the fire up here. I'm still with you. Your belly's growling, but I'm still here. You think you're going to thirst to death? I'm still here. How could a man thirst to death and God straight up above him? Amen. The God that said, I'll never leave you, and He never did. He never left them. The God that began to give them design, gave them the tent, the tabernacle, gave Moses the law, spoke to God, spoke to him out of the mountain. One thing after, God establishing them once again as the people of the land of Israel. And you know why they're the people of the land of Israel? You know why that's even the land of Israel? Because God made that people Israel. If God had named them anything else, that's what the name of that land would be. It's named after the people that God chose. God's got His eye on them. Listen, don't you think that God invests so much to call them out, to save them, to deliver them, to help them, to be their God, that God, and to say, I'll never leave you and never forsake you, do you think that God's not going to finish what He started? God will finish exactly what He started. Amen. I'm done this evening. I hope something's been said to be a help to you. Maybe that'll help you to not be discouraged. Don't let the devil beat you over the head if you have questioned the mission, questioned why God would call on you. Listen, it happens to all of us. Just get in there and do what God said for you to do. Amen. That's the best life to live. Amen. I want you to stand.